For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 7:07 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here's who we are and what we do. Each and every Saturday, right here on News 104.5 WOKV, I'm joined by the big guy, Sasquatch the Yeti, 6'6", 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV as the host of Larry's Garden. You've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, Certified Master Inspector from Home Pro Inspections. You've seen me on HGTV as the house detective, and possibly about town if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, we mix it up in the middle. But what makes the show fun for us is you. Your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. 340-1045. 340-1045.
Yes.
And if you're calling from Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. What's, well, all of a sudden, Indianapolis?
I just kind of like it up there. I got friends and business associates up there. Good town.
Okay.
They don't play football there.
Okay.
But anyway, use the area code 904-340-1045. Sasquatch, large man, the triple crown, the triad, the trio, the three things that I've waited all week to share with you.
Well, I'm waiting.
Here you go. There's alliteration here. Be ready.
Okay. All right.
Shutters.
Shutters. Okay.
Sweat. And salt.
Sweat. Okay. Salt.
Start with
salty
shutters.
Salty sweat.
Well, all right. They're all kind of related, aren't they?
Yeah.
Shutters. Many folks around town have made the decision to harden their homes, technical term there, against wind and hurricane-related things by installing shutters.
Yeah.
Can be a good thing.
Yes.
The downside is the brackets that hold those various panels in place.
Weak link.
They penetrate into the wall. So they're screwed in, they're bolted in. And also, depending on the type of bracket, it ends up making a ledge or a lip that brings water into the building. Mm-hmm. Had an interesting event yesterday. Went out and
that's if it's stucco, not a brick, right?
Well, you're bringing water in one way or the other.
Well,
And the consequence of bringing water behind stucco over wood frame is very intense.
Yeah.
The consequence of bringing it into a brick veneer, not so intense.
Right.
Nonetheless, you're bringing the water in.
Right.
So, stucco over wood frame. Person noticed when they removed a Holy Communion picture from the outside wall in the daughter's room.
Right.
You know, they just took the picture down to move it around. Mold stain behind it. Like, whoa, got mold. Better check this out.
Right.
And they were aggressive with it. They cut the drywall out and said, uh-oh, there's rotten mold in here, you know, on the sheathing and on the insulation and whatnot.
Wow.
Ended up cutting off a piece of the wall or removing the drywall, an area probably ceiling to floor about 10 feet.
Yes.
And there's a pattern of mush in there.
Yes.
So they weren't quite sure. They had a roofer look at it, had a lot of people look at it. And finally they said, hey, come look at it. We went and looked at it. Turns out where the brackets were bolted in.
Right.
Was penetrating right into that wall, and it was acting like a little itty-bitty water fountain when there was wind-driven rain.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, and you figure you got 20-some windows around the house.
Yep.
The only reason they were able to detect this problem, It's almost like a gift from God.
Right.
Was this Holy Communion certificate.
Kept the condensation.
Exactly right. There was condensation on the back of it, or they never would have known.
Yes.
The guy says, well, you know, should I just fix this one? What shall I do? I'm like, no, no, no.
You got to fix them all.
You got to do every one of these, top and bottom brackets. Right. You got to pull them off, seal the hole as you put the bracket back in, and then really gush the sealant behind the bracket such that it squeezes out the top, and you can put a nice bead across it, bit of bang, bit of boom, and you're done. Mm-hmm. So shutters, good thing. Brackets, risky thing. You got to be sure they're properly sealed.
A shorter screw, you know.
Well, not really.
More of them, but shorter.
Not really either. You got to because look what that's intended to do.
Yeah, I'm brick.
Yeah. Well, the screw is actually part of the assembly or lag bolt.
Right, right.
So they rate those shutters for various wind speeds and
the size of the screw or
so
the lag bolt.
The bolt is a piece of the assembly. So if you use a lesser, then you would expect lesser performance.
Yes.
So shutters. Next is sweat.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Hot, hot, hot attics, cold, cold, cold air conditioning, and where your air conditioning duct transitions into your living space, there's a metal boot there.
Yeah.
And seldom are they properly insulated. At the more expensive end, you can buy them where the insulation is built right into the boot, very rarely used because they are expensive, or you can insulate that boot itself. When it's not done, you get sweat there. When you get sweat there, bam, you're going to get water on the drywall.
Right.
Especially interested in vaulted ceilings.
And does the vent get a little wet too?
Yeah.
Sometimes
they do. The nice thing is if the vent also gets wet, it cues you to say, hey, I got a problem from the vent.
Right.
But if the water is condensating, like on a vaulted ceiling, on a vaulted ceiling, the water will run down the ceiling rather than into the vent because it's got gravity on its side. And then it'll run down and it'll find a seam and leak through the seam. And you're like, wow, I have a roof leak. And it's coming right through this particular place. So it can mask itself. I had the joy of troubleshooting one of those yesterday. So if you see sweat on your registers or stains on your ceiling, especially in the vaulted, if it's in a funny place, once you affirm it's not a roof leak, you really need to give heavy consideration to those duct boots are sweating. That's an easy do-it-yourself. You can do it with foam. You can do it with insulation. But if you're losing energy, which is minor to some people, you're gaining sweat. We don't want that. Lastly is salt. I love salt. On our dining room table, we have 12 different kinds of salt. And for some people, salt's turning into this dirty word when it relates to water softening. As you know, I have a degree in physical science from U.S. Naval Academy.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot soften water without ion exchange. That ion exchange is virtually always related to the use of salt. Potassium, if you choose, but nonetheless, it's a potassium salt or chloride salt. It's all this science. You got to have salt. You can treat water. You can condition water. You can filter water. You can do all sorts of things with water. Specifically, you cannot soften without salt. So know that is important. And where this makes a difference is, and I learned all this from Mark Kinder at Affordable Water. You know,
yes.
Try to stay in contact with him so I get a little smarter.
Uh-huh.
Pretty smart to begin with, but I'm not an expert per se in water treatment. So when you're shopping for a water softener or any water treatment, number one, you've got to be sure the person is licensed. If you use that as a threshold, as a criteria to assure they hold the proper license as a water treatment professional and properly certified by the governing agency, you'll eliminate about 95% of all the companies in town.
Right.
Next.
He's, you know, another thing I've known, Mark, he's a master, you know, certified water tech.
Yeah.
So by the state of Florida.
They're the highest end of credential. So you need guys like Mark at Affordable Water Jacks, you need to be sure they got that licensing right.
Wow.
The next position. The city, Jacksonville specifically, and the surrounds, it requires a permit to install. It requires a permit to replace. These regulations are put in place to protect us. Does it mean it might cost a couple extra bucks? It might. Does it mean you have those protections and backstops? Yes, it does. So, salt is a good thing. I have 10 kinds on my table. The salt does not end up in the water. It's all just goofy. Trust me on this. AffordableWaterJacks.com. Get smarter on it. I get pretty passionate about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I watch bogus stuff going on all the time.
Well, we're 70% water or something like that.
Our bodies.
80%.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got Hawaiian salt that's black.
Yeah.
Himalayan. Black. Yeah. But it's black.
Volcanic ash in there?
I don't know what's in there. These different minerals and nutrients is what makes me strong.
Okay. how does it taste? Does it taste any different?
Tastes like salt.
Tastes like salt, okay.
The truth of it is, I believe it does, although it could be sort of a mental health thing.
Right.
So I got 10 different salts. I have French flake salts.
French flake?
Yeah. I got truffle-infused salts.
Wow.
Many different things.
Well, I didn't know there were that many salts.
Yeah. The one salt you'll never find on my table.
What's that?
Morton. That's processed chemical garbage. You want real natural salts.
Really? Okay.
It has all these other beneficial minerals.
Maybe I'll have to try that. You know what I mean? I'll try a little bit of salt. I like that olive oil that you gave me. So
yeah.
The salt, I'll try that out.
Trust me on this.
Okay.
I take care of my body.
Okay.
What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, if you're out there working in your vegetable garden and you got a little extra time and you got some wood chips, the wood chip compost is probably one of the top composting elements in any type of garden. And what you could do is it's a little bit of time, a little bit of process, and you take about 4 or 5 inches of wood chip, and you decide where you have your garden at, and you put that down on the ground. Just basically put it on the ground. You can put some newspaper or cardboard underneath there to keep the weeds from coming through. That's not a bad idea. And you let that sit for about maybe 4 to 5 months. You can speed up the process also with some mill organite, mixing it in. What that does is accelerate the
decomposition.
Decomposition. Because of bacteria. Now, you can't plant in it right away, okay, a lot of times. Because the decomposition locks out the nitrogen. And it's a very, very effective way to get those, you know, mega crops, those, you know, those things you see on, you know, these examples in the gardening magazines. And a very easy, low cost. All you need is 4 to 5 inches of wood chips. Maybe you can make 10, you know, if you want 10, if you want to take a little longer. But
yeah,
it's a great way to make a garden. Then you got a sterile environment. It's weed sterile. And you don't have to do anything, really. Just plant your crops in there. Some people add a little bit of rock dust in there to add some trace elements, and you can add trace elements in there.
Raw dust?
Rock dust.
Oh, rock dust.
Rock
gotcha.
Dust, yeah, for trace elements, and then you're in business. So it's a project you could begin right now, and it'd be ready in the spring.
Yeah,
it'd be ready in spring.
It takes 6 or 9 months to cook.
Yeah, yeah. It would be ready in 4 months if you mix mill organite in there, so you could have a little bit earlier if you wanted to start a winter crop.
I was reading the optimal temperature for compost is like 120, 140, 150,
yeah.
It's amazing how much heat is generated
in a compost
bin. It is
amazing. You stick your hand in a compost heap, it's warm, really warm. But, you know, it's very, very effective. The reason I've gotten more interested in this is because we were working in a garden that we planted years ago, and the plants were just mega size. And so what I realized that over a time that this our client had been putting wood chips down over years and years and years, and he actually created this wood chip compost without knowing about it, you know. And it's the plants were just mega in size, mega in flower power.
Interesting.
All the things that you want in a garden.
I like that. It's 7:20 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Brief break, jumping right on the phones to your calls. Going to take care of Russell when we get back with his rooting cactus. Woo-hoo! Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 7:25 here at News 104.5. I'm here with Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. And joining us from Russell, Florida, is Ray, who wants to root his cactus, I do believe. Ray, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Good morning, everybody. I started a cactus garden. I've got these big table tennis paddle type of plants.
Mm-hmm. Prickly pear.
I just don't know how long it takes them to root. I got them last winter. I've repotted them a couple of times, but it just doesn't seem like there's really any root system.
Are they inside or outside?
They're outside.
The best way to root a prickly pear, you know, is to right where you have one of the discs, you know, you want to cut that point right there and remove that disc. and then you want to lay it in the shade for maybe a day or two till it dries out. And then you want to get damp soil, not really soggy wet, but damp soil, and just barely stick it in there. Okay. You may have to support it if it's a large one. And it should root right away. It should root within maybe 2 weeks. Start the rooting system. We'll start within 2 weeks. You know, prickly pear we used them in landscape, and the variety I forgot right off the top of my head, but a lot of pruning on those will really thicken them up. You know, where they're kind of rangy, some of them are rangy, but we pruned and pruned all the new growth. Every spring we'd prune and prune them right at where the separation point between one pad and the other, and it became a unbelievable specimen, just really thickened up and dense, and it was a great looking plant. And as it thickened up, it became of course you get more flowers in the spring, and they have some unbelievable flowers. So, you know, pruning, if people have them in their landscape, which are, I like them as a plant in landscape. They do have thorns, so sometimes people don't like that. But, you know, pruning them, it really will help them, and they'll look much nicer instead of they won't get rangy at all. So I always encourage people to prune them, all right?
Yeah, because these are getting leggy, and I was going to mount a question was whether I should knock off these new little pads that are growing on them.
Yes. If you could say you set your height, you know, whatever your height you want it to be, 3 foot or 2 foot or 4 foot, just keep pruning back those new pads that came up, and keep the height at that place, and it will start new offshoots on the bottom and some of the side lateral offshoots, and it actually will become better and better and better every year. And after about 3 to 4 years, it's going to be a spectacular specimen.
What about watering? I think
you don't need water. You don't need. They never need water. Never. You know, they're cactus. You know, they can go. Once you get them started, they're done. They don't even get. They don't even need water initially to get them started. You know, just besides rooting them, but they never need water. You know.
All right. These got plenty of new green shoots on top of green shoots. Yeah. Okay, I'll knock them off then.
Knock them off, and then you'll start getting lateral shoots and shoots from the bottom. All right?
All right. And what about the big caterpillars eating my canna lilies? It's spraying, doesn't matter, because the rain just knocks the sprays.
You want to use systemic, like mitocoprin or Telstar on it or something like that, systemic.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
Good luck with it, Ray. Prickly pears.
Yeah, we had some. We did a landscape. We put them in a landscape, and that we pruned them and pruned them over three.
Did they fruit?
And of course they have fruit. Yeah, they have fruit.
Kind of orange fruit.
Kind of a reddish, and they
reddish
were sweet.
Orange.
It was sweet.
That's an Israel.
It was an edible one.
Sabri.
Yeah.
I think it's an Italian.
Yeah, and
Israeli.
And it was. They became spectacular, and the flowers. There were beautiful flowers in the spring.
Yeah, and you can eat them. I like things that you can eat.
Right.
It's 7:30 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 340-1045. Check in with us. Love to hear from you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. 7:37 here at News 104.5. Larry O'Neill is here from Larry's Garden. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Looking for Larry during the week. Easy to find all the time online. Larry'sGarden.com. Blog, video, frequently asked questions. And also, he has his telephone number there, though I'll give it to you here. 346-1970. And again, 346-1970. Me, Wally Conway, easy to find all the time online. Go homepro.com. Home inspections, commercial building inspections, environmental sampling, just about anything you need that relates to due diligence in purchasing homes and buildings. And it's the home of the 18-month home warranty. Go homepro.com. Phone number 268-8211. Operators are standing by. Out to Atlantic Beach, checking in with Stephanie to see what's up with the water in her roof, maybe. Stephanie, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Thank you. Well, I'm in North Beach, actually, Atlantic Beach. But anyway, quick question for you. I do have a stain on my vaulted ceiling, and the roof is 3 years old. The stain seems to appear to get wet. I've tried to reach it, but I can't because it's vaulted.
Well, get on your tippy toes.
I have to drag out the ladder. But anyway, but it appears to get wet when it rains. So would that rule out the condensation theory or no?
Not necessarily. To be honest, sometimes there's more than one source. So it's a vaulted ceiling. What does the stain look like? Is it round or is it long and skinny?
No, it's long and skinny.
Long and skinny would tell us that it's penetrating at the drywall seam and that the source of the water is from somewhere above it.
Right.
Got that part figured out. The vaulted ceiling, is there access above it? If I don't have lunch and I come over there, can I scoochie, scoochie, scoochie in there?
Well, it's a really short ceiling in there, but...
Yeah, that's why I said scoochie, 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 Stephanie.
Yeah.
And no lunch.
Scoochie, scoochie, for sure.
All right, I'm going to come over to your house and scoochie, scoochie, scoochie. So what... is that okay?
Okay.
So what we need to sort, Stephanie, is what's happening on top of the roof. You know, are there any vents or other penetrations? Or is anything up there that would make us think it's something is damaged? We'll also give some consideration to wind-driven rain, you know, just oddball things blowing off the ocean or here and there. So once we figure out what's causal, it's virtually always simple to solve it. But to your specific question, can we determine at this particular point affirmatively, is it condensation or roof? When you tell me that it only seems to appear wet when it rains, that leads toward roof as opposed to condensation.
Yeah, that was my theory, too.
Yeah.
I've put in two calls to the roofer because it's supposed to have, you know, this lifetime warranty.
Right.
First 10 years, you know, you're good to go. After that, it's prorated.
Yes.
Haven't returned my call.
That's not good. I'll tell you, we get involved in this multiple times every single week. The advantage of having an objective third party with expertise look at it, you know, we have the infrared cameras, we have moisture meters, and we don't have a dog in the fight. So we'll be able to document precisely what's causal.
Uh-huh.
And that actually is intended to help the roofer, because if the roofer knows exactly where it's coming in from, it makes it easy to fix. And at other times, it exonerates the roofer if it's not the roof. So when we're objective and skilled, we're just in there. It's like going to the Mayo Clinic. You know, they're not in there rooting for a particular diagnosis. It's like, figure it out. Why is the stain on Stephanie's ceiling? And more importantly, what is the simple path to make it stop? So we can do that for you.
It has, it has grown. It's, I'd say it's now about a foot long, where it used to be just a few inches.
If it's growing, that's not good, because we don't know what else is going wrong. You're seeing the stain, and that's aggravating and frustrating. Is it moldy up there, or is something rotting? Is it getting ready to go over an electric wire? You know, what's going on? In my Navy pilot days, a guy said to me, I used to work for, he said, bad news doesn't get better with time. So it's the same in your body. It's the same in your house. It's the same in everything, right? You know, so I go to my skin doctor every 90 days. And the idea is to discover something when it's simple. It's a small stain on my skin, right? So I'm like, oh, this one's kind of growing, you know?
And I'm a retired orographer, so I know all about the weather part of it.
There you go. There you go. Between the two of us, or three of us, or how many people you got, we can solve this thing.
All right. Sounds good to me.
You want me to give you the phone number?
Yeah, please.
268-8211. And the website, and you can look at pictures and some ideas there, is gohomepro.com. Gohomepro.com. That'll be fun. Hey, and when you do call to schedule, all kidding aside about the scoochie thing, it's way better in the morning because, man, especially when it's a really small space, when it's 150 degrees up there.
I do everything before 8 o'clock if I can. Right,
perfect.
Now.
Yeah, perfect. Good. Thank you. I did one yesterday at 7 in the morning. I shouldn't have said that. Now people are going to ask for that. Anyway. It was cooler.
Yes.
Well, that's the only time you get anything done. Things outside or
yeah, well, let me tell you, the difference between 95 outside and 150 in the attic is the difference between this is uncomfortable and this is dangerous. You just can't be up there for 20 minutes when it's 150 degrees.
Makes perfect sense to me.
And you were an aerographer.
I was. I'm a retired scene chief.
Nice. Well, thank you. Could be you've told me the weather somewhere along the way.
Yep, did those DD-214s for years.
Yeah. Are you still involved with the weather?
No, just when I look outside.
Thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Bye, man.
Yeah, I'll give you a call.
Thanks. Bye. Well, that's interesting. An aerographer.
Yes.
That's essentially the meteorologist of the Navy.
Right.
Let you know the weather. And she said DD-214. I forgot all about that. That's official form they put the weather on before you go fly.
Yes.
That way, if you, you know, crash in a storm, they can say, I told you, dude. I told you.
Told you how to go on that over there. Yeah.
Do you know what CAVU means?
No.
CAVU.
No.
Clear air, visibility, unrestricted.
Oh.
So when you go to the aerographer, the meteorologist or whatever, say, you know, what's the weather going to be like for this flight from here to where? And they say, CAVU. You're like, yes, clear
it's
air.
It's going to be smooth going.
Clear air, going. Visibility, unrestricted.
Right.
CAVU.
Right.
Isn't that a cool word?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I love the word.
CAVU. No. That'd be a good name for a boat.
Yes. Are you getting a new one?
I'm trying.
Okay. All right.
Intending.
Get a diesel this time.
Well, my present boat is having surgery.
Oh, no. What's going on with it?
New motor mounts.
Oh, they haven't got to finish that yet?
No.
Oh, my
gosh. Now you're making me feel bad. Let's talk about houses.
Okay.
You know, we were chatting earlier about storm shutters and how when they're not properly installed and or properly maintained, you bring water into the house. It is another reminder, we're in hurricane season, flood insurance. No matter where you live in Florida, you are, in fact, in a flood zone. The only question is which flood zone you are in. And people often get the information, maybe from a real estate person, maybe from wherever, oh, you're in you don't need flood insurance, you're not in a flood zone. Yes, you are. Flood Zone X is the proper name of the flood zone where you're not required, it's not mandatory flood insurance. That doesn't mean you're not there. More than one-third of all flood insurance claims are paid to people who are in Flood Zone X where it was not mandatory. Last year in Irma, hundreds and hundreds of people were devastated.
Yes, they're absolutely right.
Who falsely were told or incorrectly or whatever you want to say, you don't need flood insurance, you're not in a flood zone. You are, you're in Flood Zone X. It means it's inexpensive. And that's the purpose of the flood zones, those various letters and numbers, is to determine the flood insurance rate. So if it's in X, it means it's as inexpensive as it can be. Please, please, please do it. I know people personally, many more professionally that we've been dealing with.
We've worked on a lot of those houses that got flooded like that.
It's terrible. I mean, and many of them are losing their homes because that mortgage does not go away if you have a mortgage. It's not going away because your home is not livable. And it also, you're devaluing the home. There's so many issues. Please, please get flood insurance. And there's a real good website. I think it's floodinsurance.gov that gives the real honest things. And if you're unsure, just contact me through our website, gohomepro.com, and I'll send you a guide. It's actually called The Real Estate Agent's Guide to Flood Insurance. And the reason that's so important is most people get their basic information from their real estate agent when they purchase a home. And regrettably, very few are truly familiar with the fundamentals of the program, and they give very well-intended intended information that just isn't correct, and it harms people. So please stop doing that. I still wish we could get lawn insurance.
Yes. Yeah, you know, lawns have gotten, the price of grass is going up so much, you know. And it is about the time, you know, want to prepare for sod webworm. You know, it's going to be out there in the shade. So a couple treatments, and it's preparatory. If you see moss when you're walking around in your lawn, it's particularly in the shade, uh-huh. That means they're laying their eggs in about, depending on the weather, 10 to 14 days later, you're going to have those little worms digesting your grass. So any type of insecticide will work
chickens.
On there. Chickens will work. You know, if you got chickens, they'll definitely work.
I'm going to start a company where we bring chickens by.
Yes, there's a pooper scoopers, and now you're the chickens.
No, I don't want that job. Chickens, they eat bugs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grubs.
They'll keep the lawn absolutely spotless. But, yeah. You know, or you can bring in some fire ants. You know, they'll take care of that, too. But, yeah. You know, the problem is you got to make sure you don't step on them. But that's what some of the things you need to do in the lawn. Also, a little bit of fertilizer right now. You know, if you use a little bit of mill organite, a little bit of low nitrogen, you know, get the grass greening up again. Most of the fertilizer you applied during the year, not unless you applied slow release, is completely gone. You know, with sandy soil, it's going to go right through it. So, and then when you're picking fertilizer, you know, you're at the local garden center, you know, look at the back of the bag, try to get the slow release stuff. How do you tell if you're buying slow release? Generally, it's going to be more expensive, and you'll have water soluble, water insoluble on the nitrogen column. You want to make sure you get the ones with the highest amount of water insolubility, and that will give you that extended range on fertilizer, and you'll spend a lot less time fertilizing your own grass. So it's always better to use slow release because a lot of it evaporates in the atmosphere, runs off into the water system.
You'll spend more per bag, though less per year.
Yes, right.
It's very cost effective.
Very, very cost effective. That's why use of mill organite, again, it breaks down slowly and enriches the soil and increases the health of the soil. So using a couple applications of that during the year is good, or just using that exclusively, but you're going to have to use a little bit more frequently, okay?
Okay.
All right.
I promise. That's what I'll do.
Okay.
You know, everything is that way. I was chatting with the folks at Wild Birds Unlimited the other day.
Right.
And cheap bird seed is much like cheap fertilizer. So that you can buy the bird seed in some of these places. You know, it's like 50 pounds for 10 bucks. And it's fillers and weed seeds.
Yes.
And you'll know you're using the wrong bird seed when the birds
ain't coming.
they'll come and they'll sort through it and they kick it out. And when they kick it out of the, it ends up, you end up with weeds around the base of your bird feeder.
Yes.
You know, they also make bird feed that doesn't even leave a shell.
Wow.
They pre-do it. It's kind of interesting. There's a whole science to that. I'm fascinated. It's a new thing I'm getting interested in. I'm interested in birds, soft water, and food. It's neat.
You know, we have Muley capillaris is a great grass. We have that pink flowering grass in the fall.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're thinking about putting some of that in there in your garden, which is very, very low maintenance, drought resistant, can handle moist or dry conditions, it's a great plant. Another great plant for the garden, if you're a flower, if you want color and it's will last years, is guara. Guara is a native plant of Texas, and it has just a profusion of white flowers, and it is does attract insects. Lightly pruning it during the year helps it. So you'll need to plant about 3 to 4 of them, and it will flower on and off all year round. Once it gets the flowers are spent, you just trim the top off, and it looks great. And it's deer resistant. So if you live out in the west side or areas that are prone to deer, so it can stand up against the deer. Heat, any drought, that's any kind of wind, it's a tough plant.
I like it. It's 7:51 here at News 104.5. Brief break, right back to you. If you'd like to check in with us, 340-1045. Stay with us. Seven 56 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Larry and I grateful that you've been with us. Get Larry during the week. Larry'sGarden.com. 3461970. Get me during the week. Go homepro.com. 2688211. Going down to Mike in Middleburg, see if we can help him with his mold event hookup. Mike, we got about a minute. Tell us about it.
I got a new trailer, double wide, back in September. So it's almost a year now.
Anyway, congratulations.
Thanks. But they didn't have the air drop being blown out of the roof properly, out of the vent. It wasn't hooked up, both bathrooms. Anyway, they say the mold grew all over the ceilings big time, disappeared overnight almost.
Right.
And a guy comes out, he's responsible for repairs, sprays Clorox on it, says that'll take care of it. I'll come back another day and hook up your vents, Well, that's been about 3 weeks. And I don't know how he's going to get up in the ceiling because there's no access, to check for mold and whatnot. And on top of that, my warranty is going to be up next month.
Right.
You know, the year moving. What should I do?
You've got to get those bathroom exhaust fans. And this does not matter whether it's a single wide, a double wide, or a $5 million home on the ocean. The bath exhaust fans must discharge to the exterior of the home. If they discharge up into an attic space or a floor cavity, it will result in the mold that you're seeing. I see it every single day. It may turn out that they'll need to cut the drywall in the ceiling in order to get it out there. But it must be done. There's not an alternative. If you tell me there's no attic access, there is no choice but to cut the ceiling.
Right. Right. Should I ask for an extended warranty or guarantee about the mold for a future, you know, down the road? You know, if they don't
doubt that they have that available. If we do an inspection, I'm not sure it covers the double wide. Eek, eek, eek. If you go to our website, gohomepro.com, and take a look at the warranty positions there, you may purchase an extended warranty. But what you need to do as it relates to right now is document with that salesperson or the manufacturer of your home that you have this problem and it's not done. Because if you've identified the problem and documented the problem and the warranty expires, that's okay. It isn't like they go, oh, we faked you out, now we're not covered.
Right.
It needs to be documented.
Like a registered letter?
Yeah, you want to photo document the problem, even if it's not registered. Yeah, get it. Make sure it's there. Send it by email, send it by certified letter. You want to document that the problem was exposed prior to the end of the warranty period, that they started on it and didn't finish, so they don't play a game with you. And
yeah, I got a little one, you know, 10 months old, don't need.
Right, yeah.
Don't need it.
Okay, so do that. If you need help, you know, contact us through the website, gohomepro.com, and I'll coach you through it.
All right, one other short thing.
Real short, you got a second.
Sure.
Oh, underneath the house, condensation from the air conditioning tubes that go underneath.
Yep.
It's like a rainforest.
Yeah, that's not real good either. You want to be sure those ducts are up off the ground.
They're up. I mean, just, but you know, the condensation.
Yeah.
You know,
well, hopefully it's only condensing on the outside of the duct and not on the inside. So that's a challenge. Could be you'd like to have us come out and go through the whole home for you, soup to nuts, and we can get every bit of that documented before your warranty does expire.
Yeah, I need to protect the kids and all.
Yep. All right, Mike, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's 8 o'clock here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We are grateful that you were with us. We are
Absolutely.
Grateful your support of Larry's Garden and Home Pro Inspections. And we'd be eternally grateful. You will please use your turn signal and be courteous when you drive.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.